You have no idea what's going on. That's okay. Whether you're in person or online, I want to say welcome. I am Pastor Bert, and I want to thank you for joining us today. And I hope you have a memorable time with us today, in a good way. And yes, that was my attempt at a segue in the fact that yesterday was Remembrance Day, as Cole already pointed out. And, it's a time for us to remember and reflect upon the sacrifices, right, of those who laid down their lives for the sake of the freedom we enjoy in Canada. And it's maybe more important than ever to do this as we witness the increasing attacks upon our freedoms in recent years. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, are increasingly coming under attack from those who perceive them as threats to their own personal choices and opinions. I can't help but wonder how those who paid the ultimate sacrifice would feel about our culture today, what they've done with the freedom that those people so graciously provided for us. It makes me wonder as well how Jesus feels about what the Canadian church has done with the freedom that he so graciously provided for us. So far, we're still free to worship him publicly, to openly talk about our faith to our neighbors. Yet we don't do it too often, do we? And I'm as guilty as anyone in this room. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to turn anybody against us. Even though we in Canada still have it, we've been relatively insulated, right, from the backlash, those who might be antagonistic towards God. But this is not the experience of so many of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. There are literally hundreds of millions of believers who have to meet in secret. In communist, Islamic countries, as well as others, so many have to be careful of being found out. Or they'll be incarcerated or possibly executed. Just for believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that's why I think it is so appropriate that the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which we prayed for last week, takes place right around Remembrance Day so that we can pray for those, remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for their country on one hand, for their faith on the other. And we need to remember that we too, as Jesus followers, have been called to lay down our lives for the sake of Jesus and sharing him with others. Jesus said, if you want to save your life or save yourself, you will destroy it. But if you give up your life for me and for the good news, you'll save it. Isn't that great news? Whoever loses his life for Jesus and the good news about his salvation will save it. Most of you don't look too happy about that. Too excited. I think, the truth is that we in the West have become so comfortable that this doesn't sound like good news to us at all, right? But to our brothers and sisters who live under the threat of martyrdom, this is the best news in the world. Folks, I don't know if or when this might happen in Canada. But I don't think it'll be too terribly long before North America feels the effects of a complete loss of freedom for the Christian church. Will those of us in this room be around to see it? I don't know. God only knows that. That doesn't mean we should ever be discouraged, right? It just means we need to more than ever heed the admonition of the writer to the early Hebrew church who said, let us hold strong to the confession of our hope, never wavering, since the one who promised it to us is faithful. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of his return approaches. Now, you may be listening and thinking, are you kidding me? How in the world am I supposed to be encouraged by everything I'm hearing, right? I admit, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find encouragement from the fact that we have been called to lay down our lives. But folks, this is the reality of the dichotomy we live in as followers of Jesus. The fact is that we are actually citizens of a different country. Our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. And as far as I know, there's only one way to get there still. The Lord comes. We need to shed our mortal bodies in order to live forever with Jesus. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, what is mortal must be changed into what is immortal. What will die must be changed into what cannot die. Folks, I'm really trying to cheer you up with all of this, but I'm not seeing a lot of happy, excited faces out there. So rather than trying with my own words, let's take a look at the words of Jesus today, as recorded by his closest friend and follower, John. And let's take encouragement from his words, to his followers, what he said to his followers about what to do when we're facing whatever this world could be throwing at us. And I've asked David to come and read that for us this morning. And I think you can read along. Thanks, bud. You can read along on the screens. It's from John 15, 12 to 26. And he's going to read from the New International Version today.
All right. You want to follow along? John 15. Find that pretty easy. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated me, both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me.
Amen. Thank you, David. I know some of you still, listening to that text, watching it, reading along with it, are thinking, right, that sure sounded encouraging, didn't it? But bear with me for a few moments, and I think you'll glean some fresh insights into this text. Now, I'm not sure if you recognized as we read through that passage, but Jesus uses the single letter first person pronoun, I, 11 times. I have, I will, I command, I. I'd say the I's have it, but that'd just be corny. 11 times, Jesus draws his followers' attention to what really matters. Himself. As students of the Bible, this emphasis by Jesus is not something that we can overlook. In each case, the primary importance of what is being said rests upon he who is saying it. In other words, it's not about us or what we can or should do. It's about what Jesus has already done, what he can do, and what he will do through every single one of us as we trust and obey him. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 11 things here today, but I want to highlight a few of them, okay? A few of the things that Jesus brings attention to in this text that I think are important for us. The first thing we see is that Jesus says it's all about him. It's all about Jesus, right? I already mentioned that. The Christian faith, folks, is not about us. It's not about our preferences, what we want to sing, what we want to do. It's about Jesus. When things go south, we don't set Jesus aside and try to take care of things on our own. Try to do things how we want to do them. In our text, Jesus says, I have loved you. It's not that we have loved God, but that he first loved us while we were still far from him. Jesus came to us to die for us. John mentions this in his first letter to the early church. He says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Sometimes I think we fall into thinking it is all about us. I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. I am a Christian. Sorry, folks, but there's only one I am, and it ain't you or me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's all about him. It's all about his grace. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God loved you so much that he left heaven, came to earth, lived with us to relate to us, and then died for us and rose again so that we could live forever with him. The gospel in a nutshell, the good news. If he did all of this for you, don't you think that he'll provide everything that you need to fulfill your purpose in this life? No matter what the world may throw at you. Absolutely he will. Listen to what the early church leader Paul was. He was struggling, and God reminded him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus says that when we're feeling weak, insecure, incapable, that's when he works in us. That's when he works the best in us. It's when he works the best through us. All we have to do is trust his promises and fulfill his purposes. And he'll make us more like him. Because our next point says, it's about holiness. It's about holiness. He said, I have chosen you out of the world. Chosen you out of the world. Now, holy does not mean perfect. A holy person has a quality about their life that is different than the world. Just like the one whom they are emulating, Jesus Christ. Their present lifestyle is not only different from what it was like in the past, we're different people, but it's also unlike the lifestyles of the people in the world today. Those around us. A holy person has the mind of Christ, which means that they take his words seriously, right? Both from the Bible as well as the Spirit's still small voice in their heart, so that they can discern and make judgments on their own words and actions so that they would please God in all of them. Paul explains this to the church in Corinth, Greece. He says, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. So holy living is about letting God's Spirit change and direct us. Both of those. Therefore, the Spirit reveals to us what God's will is in any given situation. Okay? We may be in the world, but our words and our actions reveal that we're not of it at all. Number three, it's about relationship. You know, I always thought it'd be kind of cool to have a friend who was famous. You know, like an actor, a musician, maybe a sports figure, somebody that you were really close to, but like just this famous person. Like I've met a lot of famous people, people you'd maybe consider famous. I've met Wayne Gretzky. I've met Christian musicians like Jeff Moore, Mark Stewart of Audio Adrenaline. Some of you have no idea who I just spoke about. But trust me, they were big in the Christian music scene about a quarter century ago. Wow, I'm old. I've even met the great Pentecostal pastor, Jack Hayford. And, you know, it's neat to be able to say that I've met some of these people, but not one of them would ever consider me their friend. I've met them once. They don't know me, right? But what an incredible privilege it is to be called friends by the most famous person in the universe. Jesus, who's both creator and savior, and the one who knows me better than I even know myself. He still likes me. And this is what Jesus wants us to remember, that we're his friends. And he takes care of his friends. That's why he says in our text, he says, I have called you friends. When I need help, I go to my friends. That's who I go to. I don't go to my family. I go to my friends when I need help with, you know, lugging stuff, moving stuff, whatever. I know I can count on them. They know they can count on me. Each of us, if we needed something, we'd be there for each other, right? That's why Jesus said, right before he returned to heaven, be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus is your friend, you are never alone. Okay? You don't have to wait for two or three to be gathered. He's always with you. He's always there. And he always helps. Number four, it's about fruitfulness. It's about fruitfulness. After having called us friends and calling us to be holy as he is holy, Jesus reveals the unexpected outcome of that kind of living. He calls it fruitfulness. In our text, Jesus says, I chose you as my friends and appointed you to be holy like me so that you might go bear fruit. You might go and bear fruit. If we are truly living for Jesus, his presence will change us. And we will bear the same character traits as him. We'll be like him. Those traits Paul lists in his letter to the church in Galatia. He says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Or really, that's saying ourself being controlled by the Spirit. These are the evidences that the Spirit of God actually and authentically lives inside of us. They're the proof that we now belong to Jesus. And this kind of fruitfulness leads to another kind of fruitfulness, because people are naturally drawn to a fruit tree when it has ripe fruit on it. The purpose of a fruit tree is to produce more fruit, right? More fruit trees, more and more and more. And the purpose of a follower of Jesus is to produce more followers. So if my life is connected to Jesus and the fruit, then the fruit should be obvious and it should be attractive to the people around me. And it should draw them to him as well. Next thing we find in our passage is that it's about love. It's about love. Love is the reason God sent Jesus into this world, right? Love is the reason that Jesus willingly hung upon that cross for you and me. Love is the reason that he fills his followers with his Spirit. Love is the reason he sends us to rescue more people from sin and death. Love is the reason for everything God has done. Therefore, love must be the reason for everything we do. That's why Jesus said we must love each other. In fact, Jesus said that love is what sets his followers apart from the rest of the world, right? It's the litmus test for those who call themselves Christians. Earlier, John recorded Jesus saying that everyone will know you, pardon me, as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. As followers of Jesus, our lives must be marked by love. Love must be the overriding motivation for everything we do and the underlying foundation for all that we do. John said it like this to the early church. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God, he says, is love. It's his nature. It's who he is. That makes love the bottom line for everything in our lives and in for his church. When we face difficulties and hard times, when we face persecution, when our world gets turned upside down, the only response that people should see from us is love. Jesus even said in his famous Sermon on the Mount, you've heard people say, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those, for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both good and bad people. He sends rain for the ones who do right and the ones who do wrong. If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for this? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about this? Don't even unbelievers do that? But you must always act like your Father in heaven. God's unconditional and unending love is what led him to come and die for you and me. He created us to love us. And even though humanity walked away from him, he still loves us. Most famous line in the Bible, we know it's John 3:16. God loved the people of this world so much that he sent his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life, never really die. So my question for you then today as we come to a close is, are you ready to put your faith in Jesus? To accept his gracious gift of eternal life with him? Do you want your relationship with God restored so that he calls you friend? If you are, and we're going to all bow our heads together at this time, and you can just pray along silently with me, and God will hear you and accept you into his forever family, because he already knows this is the desire of your heart. So just pray along with me. Dear God, I'm ready, and I want to come to you today. I don't understand it all, but I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, came to earth, died on a cross, become my Savior. I believe that he rose from the dead and went back to heaven, just like the Bible says. Lord, I'm sorry for doing things my own way. Please forgive me for this, as I'm ready to turn from my selfish ways, follow you in your best way for me. I give you my life right now. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can live a life that pleases you. It's in Jesus' name I pray this, and I thank you for it all. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back, and we finish with another song, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you please let me know? I'd love to meet with you after the service, or you can fill in one of those Connect cards, either in the seat back pocket or online. There will be some link there as well, and you can just fill that in. I have some resources I'd love to share with you, and just help as you start this new journey with Jesus. I'll turn it back to Cole, and we'll wrap her up.